An Eye on Asia.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The New York Stock Exchange is focusing on the Far East. It wants to attract more companies from that region, especially China. This week, NYSE Chief John Thain is visiting China to pick up some new listings from companies. Thain told the state-run People's Daily that the New York Stock Exchange had applied for permission to set up a Beijing office. Here's Ruth Kirshner from the Chinese capital.
Currently, only 18 companies from mainland China are listed on the New York Stock Exchange. And while its CEO, John Thain, wants to attract more, consultant Andy Rothman in Shanghai says it could be a tough sell.
Well, the traditional argument had been made that if you needed to tap into global liquidity, you needed to go to New York. And that's clearly no longer the case. Now it's very clear that an increasing number of mutual funds, pension funds, and hedge funds are coming out here to where the action is.
And the action has been in Hong Kong rather than New York for another very good reason.
The regulatory and supervisory hurdles are significantly lower in Hong Kong, and I'm certainly not saying that's a good thing, but it's what the companies consider.
He says the NYSE will have to convince Chinese firms that stricter rules in the U.S. on financial disclosure and corporate governance could boost credibility and attract investors. In Beijing, I'm Ruth Kirshner for Marketplace.
In Japan, researchers have come up with a microchip that blocks viruses before they can get into your computer. The chip would live inside a router. It's kind of like having a small computer block the viruses before they can get into your larger computer. The chip is too expensive right now, but in 3 to 5 years, it should be ready for the market. The chips would also block viruses from entering cell phones, microwave ovens, and other appliances. Today, the Supreme Court will hear arguments in the case of former Goodyear Tire employee Lily Ledbetter. She claims she was repeatedly passed over for promotions because she rejected a supervisor's sexual advances. Ledbetter says this discrimination occurred during her entire 19 years with the company. The justices will have to decide if the statute of limitations eliminates most of her claims. Diantha Parker reports.
Goodyear argues Ledbetter can only use 6 months of evidence to support her claims, not the full term of her employment with the company. It cites U.S. law that limits the time employees can file complaints following alleged acts of discrimination. Chicago Kent College of Law professor Martin Mallon says the case is unusual because it combines the two most common kinds of discrimination.
Between the promotion denial, which is a discrete act, and the hostile environment harassment scenario, which is something that builds up over time and you really can't pinpoint a specific date.
In 2005, an appeals court overturned a jury's ruling that Ledbetter was entitled to $3.5 million in back pay and other damages. If the Supreme Court finds in her favor, that could open the door for other plaintiffs to use their entire employment history as evidence in similar suits. I'm Diantha Parker for Marketplace.
Rising oil prices and a declining dollar contributed to a slumping market on a holiday-shortened Friday. The Dow slipped 46 points to 12,280. The Nasdaq fell 5 points to 2460, and the S&P also off 5 points at 1,400. But today, the Nikkei in Tokyo gained 150 points, or 0.9%. This is Marketplace. The third quarter earnings season is just about over. We asked Elisa Roth to take a look at the earnings reports and what they say about the fourth quarter.
It's been a good quarter to be an energy company. Together, five of the world's biggest oil firms earned more than $30 billion. ExxonMobil alone raked in nearly $10.5 billion. And energy companies aren't the only ones in the money. AG Edwards market strategist Al Goldman says earnings overall will be almost 25% higher than they were during the same period last year. Oil and commodity prices are already falling, though, and Goldman says it may be hard for companies to keep up their stellar earnings next quarter.
Well, they're not going to drop substantially. What's going to happen is the rate of growth is going to come down, probably to 7% to 8% earnings growth.
Goldman says that'll depend at least in part on our holiday shopping, but he expects 3% or 4% growth there, too. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the National Urban Fellows, preparing people of all ethnic and racial backgrounds for leadership for more than 36 years at NUF.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. A lot of us struggle with balancing our work and our family. It's an effort that can take some creative juggling. It can seem that you're always bouncing back and forth between one or the other. These are all puns, by the way, because this story is about a mail-order greeting business called Cinderball. It was founded by two sisters in Chicago. They figured out one way to solve the work and family conflict is to mix the two together. From the Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk, Sean Cole tossed this one our way.
Cinderball is like a one-joke novelty version of 1-800-Flowers. They send out inflatable colored balls, the kind little kids play with, printed with some version of the pun, have a ball. About 40% of people who receive a ball order one themselves within 48 hours, so they don't need to advertise. And by they, I mean Michelle Kapuska and her sister, Melissa Morocco. They're really close. They live across the street from each other. They even kind of sound alike.
I'm Michelle.
And I am Melissa.
If you get confused, just remember Michelle's 4 years older. She's also the creative one, Melissa says.
My sister sent the first ball out about 10 years ago.
About 10 years ago now.
To one of her girlfriends who had a baby.
Michelle also used to work in direct mail.
So I know you can put a stamp on it, you can mail it.
She filled out the address on one side. On the other side, she put, have a ball with your new baby.
Because I'm funny.
She wrote it right on the ball with a marker and mailed it as is. No packaging or anything. And then she did it again and again. Just for friends and family, and sometimes for her sister Melissa's sales clients. Now, both of their husbands work. Michelle has 4 kids, Melissa has 2, and so they were always talking about starting a home business so one of them could look after their collective children.
The latest thing that we were going to do was going to do home waxing parties.
Bikini waxing parties.
It never even occurred to them to turn Michelle's joke into a company, even though people in line at the post office were always admiring her balls.
Yeah.
Here comes the lady with the balls. Okay. Guess what? I never heard that one.
Finally, someone did more than admire. He gave Michelle $5 to send a ball to his sister, who was really sick. It was a sign, they say. And then came another sign.
And so that night, I'm watching Oprah.
So am I.
Weird. And it was these women who started their own businesses of all these crazy ideas. And I called her and I said, this is it. How come we didn't think about this? We've been doing this for 7 years.
That was 3 years ago. And in that time, they've sold almost 10,000 greeting balls through their website. The balls are $10 a pop. Most of them are printed up by machine.
The one I have here, have a ball on your birthday. And our Get Well ball says bounce back soon.
We have a new one.
You bounced into my heart.
Or Michelle can hand print whatever you want your ball to say. She runs the business out of her garage while looking after the kids.
I see myself as a mom who has a business.
And Melissa works her day job and dreams about someday linking up with a big greeting company.
I see myself the opposite way.
Interesting. I wonder if that's what keeps Cinderball afloat.
I think it's true.
Yeah.
Afloat, you're
funny. Okay, I didn't mean to do that. I'm Sean Cole for Marketplace.
How do we keep all these balls in the air?
Oh, will you stop, please?
If you're bouncing back and forth between work and home, take us with you. We're podcasting. You can find out more by visiting our website. It's marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.